9 o'clock. So there's no telling what I'm going to say this hour, all right? So we'll see if it's worth listening to or not. I'm recording this mainly so that tomorrow morning I can listen to what I said to see if it was any good. So we'll see. All right. This is my contact information up here on the screen. Policy I have with anywhere that I speak. If I say anything that intrigues you, interests you, you want more info on, or further discussion on, feel free to shoot me a message. Be happy to connect with you and us discuss later. 45, 50 minutes of conversation is not always enough time for everyone. And so we just want to give you a platform, a way of connecting further down the road. And so that's why I provide that for you. I serve the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. That's one of 42 state conventions. In the Southern Baptist Convention, which your church is affiliated with the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention. In fact, your church is the top giving cooperative program giving church in Texas for SBTC churches. Cooperative program is the missionally funding mechanism of the Southern Baptist Convention, so that's how we do all of our missions work around the globe. So we like to say we're reaching Texas and touching the world, and y'all are a part of that, not just in your individual mission strategy here at Houston's First, but also in your giving through the cooperative program. So thank you for your part of that, for those of you that are part of this church. The conversation for this hour is on grow groups, and Eric, he was next door in the last hour, but he's not this hour, so he's not listening in to me, so I was just looking to see if he may have snuck in the room to see. So he and I spent about 45 minutes on the phone earlier this week because he wanted to make sure that he knew what I was going to talk about before I got up here and spoke. And so I kind of outlined for him what I felt like I should do, and he said, hey, go for that. It sounds good. So I don't know what your expectation is. I don't even really know what the description says in the book. The book was written a number of months ago, and so this is what the topic is that we're going to do. So it's essentially want to talk through the importance of grow groups, launching grow groups, and maybe even we'll talk about the seasons, the life cycle of a grow group, i.e. when do you know it should stop? That's kind of an important conversation. But let's start out with the important conversation of grow groups, and if anyone... As Pastor David said earlier, if you have your Bible, you can open it, or your device that you can turn it on. There's a great text that we can actually use to think about the importance of grow groups. It's interesting, to me at least, in that we find it in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to read the text, but I'm going to talk through the story of the text. If you'd like to turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Now, you're all Bible scholars, so you know this story. This is where Ezra is standing up and opening the scrolls and beginning to read. And you'll remember what happened when Ezra was starting to read the scroll. The people stood. They stood so that the text could be read. And so they're reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They spend a half day reading the Bible, right? The Old Testament passages here. And they're all standing for half a day. I don't know if Pastor Greg has y'all stand during his entire sermon, but maybe we should try that at some point. So we read for a half day. I'm sorry, Eric is the one that messed up those walls the last hour because he was bragging about how good his class was. And so now it's caused the problem. So anyway, so Ezra is reading. They're all standing for a half a day in order to... Hey, we're going to pause for 1 second, see if we can't help them. This is how we did it earlier. Maybe it won't be like that.
It won't.
There you go. So anyway, so back to where we were. Ezra's standing, is reading. They build him a little platform. He's standing up there reading. The people are standing. Everything's great. So the purpose of moving to grow group goes in like this for Ezra. What happens is the response to the people as Ezra's reading and after they stand. What ends up happening next is it says that as you read all through the passage, it gives us a list of names, and then it adds the Levites on there. And so this list of names and the Levites, the priests, it says they then went and taught what that meant, right? So they were teaching the meaning of the text that Ezra was reading. So let me go back and build up to a grow group. So what you begin with is a crowd, right? The worship service, where we're reading the Word of God. Then we move into community, life Bible study. This is where the teachers walked around and explained what was read. Next comes the grow group. And in the Old Testament time, the grow group, what we see happening as you continue to read through chapter 8, and you see the response of the people, there was a certain feast that had not been observed in a number of years. Does anybody remember what that feast was? Actually, two of them. They're tied together. We focus on one of them. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish culture and the celebration of the feast, the celebration of the feast were done in a familial context, so in the family. So the Feast of Booths would be the family gathering together as a family unit in order to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which was what? What is the Feast of Tabernacles? Right, yeah, it was the observance of Exodus, basically. So the celebration, the remembrance of their time of wandering, and the celebration of what took place in the Exodus time period. So it's this time of, it's kind of a mixed bag. You have a little bit of joy, you have a lot of joy, you have some somberness, some solemnness, but you also have some celebration as you kind of go through this entire Feast of Tabernacles. But it was done in the family context. So we move into the New Testament. This is also modeled in the New Testament for us because Jesus teaches out on the mountaintops, and who is he teaching to? He's teaching to a crowd, right? So we have the crowd time for Jesus' preaching and teaching. And then what does it say oftentimes during Jesus' teaching? It says that then Jesus turned to his disciples and did what? And explained the meaning of what he was teaching, right? So does this sound similar? This, we have crowd, then we have community. This is what Pastor David was talking about. Jesus had a life Bible study. Jesus had community, right? So then where was core? Well, core is actually where accountability happens. And for Jesus, he had an inner circle of three. So there was a couple of occasions where Jesus took three guys with him, and he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration one time. And those guys sitting there, Peter's observing this, and he says, Lord, it was good for what? For us to have been here. It was good for us to have experienced this with you. And then later on, Jesus is sitting there and he goes out into the garden. He calls three guys, these same three guys, to come with him. And he goes and he says, y'all stay here, watch with me while I do what?
Pray.
Thank you. I know we've got some scholars in here, so y'all know these stories. So we go. He goes off to pray, but what happens to the three?
Sleep.
They fall asleep. And what does Jesus do? Specifically, he comes back, he's mad at him, but he says, what did he say? Couldn't you stay awake? Right? This is accountability. Couldn't you stay awake and watch over while I'm over here praying? That's all I was asking you to do. So, again, I believe that this gives us a model for crowd, community, core. This is modeled in the church today, and what you do in your church today with worship is crowd, life Bible study is community, and grow groups are core. This is where we get into our small individual groups for the purposes of accountability, further study in God's Word, whatever needs to take place in that core small group circle, right? The ideal context, and I believe this is the model you guys use, this is men with men, women with women. This is how this should flow, right? So when we start thinking about the ideals, when we start thinking about the biblical model of what the church is doing, grow groups are a great core model because this is going further and further. Now, I told Eric I was going to show this. This is a little bit of my educational philosophy and what I do in churches. So my background, I said I'm with the state convention. That doesn't mean anything. My history and background is I've been Ben Pritchett in churches your size. Okay, so my background is minister of education, executive pastor type positions in mega churches around the Southern Baptist Convention. So this is kind of the way I would model things in what we do, okay? So we want to have our crowd, we want to have our community, we want to have our core. We want to move people into these small groups for the purpose. Now, for me, I believe it's a discipling element, okay? The purpose of going deeper into these groups at each level is all about teaching, development, discipleship. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper into God's Word. There's a common word that's used today, or phrase of words that's used in church culture today, and you may have heard it around your church when we talk about living life together, right? Living life together is this idea of the Christian journey and what we're supposed to be doing, but the true genuine of living life together comes out of core, right? It doesn't come from the crowd. You can't live life together in a crowd, right? You can live life kind of together in a community, but not great. Where you really live life together is in core. when you're moving into smaller and smaller groups, where you're able to have accountable conversation relationships. Now look, I'm looking around the room, and there's only a few of us that are actually old enough to probably know really what Promise Keepers was and is. Promise Keepers, for my generation, did us a great disservice by forcing accountability and transparency among men. Now, I don't know if anybody was in here, well, I mean, one was in here in my last session, but I like to be transparent, right? And so this is my form of transparency. See, I don't like being touched. I don't like forced intimacy to happen, right? And that's, hugging is forced intimacy in my definition, right? I'm married, my wife and I hug, and I have no need to hug anyone else in my entire life, right? She's perfect. She's just the right size, and I don't need to know if anybody else fits. We're good, okay? Promise Keepers did this thing for men that men felt like they needed to go around and hug on you and be transparent and accountable, and they tried to force some things to happen. Genuine core isn't forcing intimacy to happen. When you're living life together, it's real. You don't have to force it. It's a natural overflow of the disciples' journey of getting to know Jesus together, studying God's word together. Then you actually experience true accountability, true genuine intimacy as a people of God so that you can live life together. That's what we should be moving toward. That is our goal in grow groups, in my definition, right? Now, y'all going to have to contextualize this a little bit. I'm not a part of your church. You're not a part of my church. I'm just telling you the model that I see it as. So we want to move from crowd to community to core, meaning we want to move from worship to life Bible study to grow groups. So grow groups is the where the rubber meets the road for us. That's where we can really get intimate. So how do we know when it's time to launch a grow group? Again, I do not believe in forcing that to happen. It should be a natural overflow of what's taking place in the life Bible study. And I believe grow groups should flow out of your life Bible study groups. That is the natural progression. That, to me, is the biblical model that we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is a group of people that started in a crowd, that moved into community, that moved into core. That is what is transpiring. That is what's taking place. So that's the natural overflow. So what that also means is there should not be, maybe that's harsh, but I did use the word should, so I didn't say must. There should not be people bypassing community for the sake of core, because you're bypassing the natural flow when you do that. So you can't skip life Bible study and immediately jump into core and think that you're going to be able to have the accountability and intimacy that is needed, because you haven't grown to that. So I used this verse last hour, and we'll use it again here because I believe that this is the goal of the Christian life, Romans 12, 1 and 2, right? What does Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? But by the renewing of your mind. We're supposed to be transformed into the image of Christ, right? And the way we're transformed to the image of Christ is by the renewing of our mind. How is our mind renewed? But by the Word of God. That is how our mind is renewed. And so in order for our mind to be renewed, in order for us to move into core, you have to be on a journey as a disciple to get you there. So going to worship and going to grow bypasses the journey to get you there. You have to have the Bible study side of this in order for grow to actually, I was going to be very pastoral and say flow, right? It's got to rhyme, grow and flow, in order for it to work. So you've got to start with life Bible study. You've got to start in here and say, now, when is it time to start a grow group? When our life Bible study is experiencing genuine community, we can then begin some grow groups. You may have one or two grow groups develop out of the natural relationship that's happening in Life Bible Study. So we use this terminology that's Eric and I actually just before session today, we were having this discussion, the issue of cliques, right? So cliques has this negative connotation. And we hear these things, you don't want cliques in your classes. But the reality is, in order to connect, you have to be cliquish. Genuine relationships happen when people are connecting. Connecting causes cliques. So the question is, do you know how to create a healthy clique? If you can create a healthy clique, then you can connect in such a way that your grow group can happen. An unhealthy clique is when someone walks in the room and everyone ignores them. That's unhealthy. A healthy clique says, we're good together, and when someone walks in the room, we're good for you to come join us as well, and we want to try to see if you will fit in here. Now, to move from community to grow, that clique has to be healthy, but it also has to be tighter. Because here's the reality. I know none of you. And if I walked in, if y'all were a Sunday school class, and I walked in, and y'all invited me immediately to come to one of your grow groups, it's not really a grow group. Because I'm not in relationship with y'all. And you've just invited me into what's supposed to be an intimate, accountable group. And I'm not there yet. Now, and I'm talking about me, right? I'm an ordained pastor, and I'm not there yet. And I'm not there yet because I've not experienced life with y'all yet. Now, back up in Plano, I'm there in my group. Okay? If my group said, let's do this, which we do every Saturday morning, every other Saturday morning, the men get together. I'll miss it tomorrow, but we have our men's Bible and bacon. You got to meet at a restaurant that has bacon, right? Or for those of you that don't like bacon, it's prayer and pancakes, whichever you want to go with. Okay. But we have our time to connect and grow, right? And that's our intimate relationship. That's our accountability that we can have because we're all in relationship together. That's when you know it's time to start launch a grow group or start a new group. I don't know how y'all do things, and I'm not criticizing. So do not go tell Eric that I criticized y'all's model. I'm just telling you what I would do or what I would not do. I would not launch a big campaign that says all of our grow groups are starting on this day. Because not every class is there. Not every Life Bible Study is going to get there at the same time. So the question of when are you supposed to launch a grow group, the answer is when you need to. It's as simple as that. There is no specific date on the calendar that is the best date to launch a grow group. It's based on when you are connecting together in your Life Bible Study in such a way that you can move to this next level of intimacy in God's Word together with a small group of people that you can actually have this conversation with. Now, since we're dealing with it, let's go all in with the grow group, okay? When do you know your grow group's a success? When we actually can have transparent, accountable conversations with one another. When it's not a success, it's when you spend the entire time talking about how the Saints got robbed by that one hit and it cost them the Super Bowl. And you spent your entire group focused on that issue, and you never dealt with God's Word. You never dealt with what God is doing in your life right now. You never dealt with what you believe God's leading you to do with your life. Does that make sense? That's the whole point of grow, is genuine intimacy with one another centered around the Word of God. Now, I've used that word several times about genuine intimacy. This is why it is men with men and women with women. because you're dealing with genuine, intimate issues. And you cannot do that in mixed gender. I don't care what the world says, the world is wrong. Be in the world, but not of the world. This only can work when men are with men and women are with women. And for those of you that are in couples classes where you all, maybe you meet at somebody's house and you have dinner and the men go in one room and the women go in one room, that can be okay, but I still question the validity of genuine intimacy because in most houses you do not have soundproof rooms. And so there is the possibility that you're concerned that your voice will travel, especially if you're a loudmouth like me. And so you're not necessarily going to share at the same level for fear of the other sex hearing what you have to say, okay? I'm not saying that it's bad. You have to figure that out for your own group. You have to model that for yourselves. But you do have to ask that question, can we really experience biblical intimacy when we're all in the house together, just being in two different rooms? Maybe you can, right? The other side of having an effective grow group is the issue of the time that you spend together, right? So, I don't know, let me rephrase this. I'm old, so I forget things. I know Eric told me how often y'all should meet, but apparently it wasn't important for me to keep up with at the moment when he told me, so I don't remember how often he expects y'all to meet. But here's my answer, right? You should meet as often as you feel led to meet, but if you're just meeting once a month, you're not meeting enough. Because you cannot have genuine biblical intimacy just 12 times a year. I'm not sure if you can just 24 times a year, every other week. I'm not sure, and I've already confessed that's what my group does, right? But I'm not sure, because we just started this last semester, so I'm not sure if it's working. We'll decide if it's working this summer when we evaluate how this past year went. Maybe it needs to be weekly. Maybe it needs to be at least three times a month. Maybe you take once a month. I don't know. But genuine biblical intimacy does require time. You have to have time together, which also means you can't schedule it at 6 o'clock on Monday night in the fall when you know that Monday night football is coming on at 7:05 or, you know, whatever time, because we got to get it done in this 1 hour, and then we've got to go. That's also not going to be experiencing genuine biblical intimacy. What you're doing there is you're programming something to happen. And when we try to program something to happen, it's not going to happen. We're just going through the motions. Now, is this making sense? Is this meaningful? Yeah. I told you, it's after 9 o'clock. I'm supposed to be in bed already. So just want to make sure we're meeting a need in the conversation here. All right? So, keys to success. What are the keys to success in grow group? Number one, somebody in every life Bible study has to be responsible for the grow group ministry. Now, I don't know if this is how y'all do it, but every class, just like you have a class director, you have a teacher, you have a care group leader, you have an outreach leader, you have a prayer coordinator, whatever, you need a grow leader in every class. And their job is to make sure that your class is moving toward grow groups. Now again, so I met a couple in the last session that they're starting a new unit, starting a new life Bible study, okay? You can't start a new life Bible study this Sunday and start grow groups next Sunday, right? 6 months from now, maybe. A year from now, sure, right? But it all depends on how the class is connecting. A grow leader in the class has to be someone who is,
trying to think of the right word.
So y'all all use, you use place here. We know you use place. We pulled it up on the screen in our last hour. So for those of you that are not familiar with place, it is to help people understand their personality, learn their spiritual gifts, their abilities, connecting their passions, their experiences in life, so that people can understand how God has uniquely created and gifted them to serve the church. So I'm going to give you a place profile of a GROW coordinator, right? So they are a personality type of probably an S personality type on the DISC inventory. And the reason is because they are very pastoral in nature. Your S's, S personality types, are a lot more pastoral in nature. They do a better job at care and concern. And so you want a GROW leader who is showing care and concern about the spiritual development of everybody in the classroom. You want them to have the spiritual gift of administration. They need to be able to organize and administrate, while at the same time they probably need the spiritual gift of exhortation, pastoral care, shepherding, those things. What that's going to do for them is give them the innate personality and giftedness to implement, to launch, grow in your class. So they're going to be keeping eyes. So they're going to get to know Cody. They're going to know when Cody is feeling connected with a group of guys. They're going to know who his relationships are. And then they're going to come up with the idea and say, Cody, David, Roy, have y'all considered starting a GROW group? You guys are hanging out together all the time. I see y'all on Sunday morning. Y'all hear y'all talking about going and having dinner together. Y'all should maybe consider doing that. Y'all are at a point in your life. And so that gives the three of them the opportunity to say, hey, let's see if that would work for us. Now, here's what you need to remember. Not everyone... I'm not always PC, so I'm trying to be nice here. So not everyone is going to be everyone's cup of tea. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Okay. There are a number of people in this room. If you were in my group, you would probably not want to be in my group. Okay. And it's mainly because you might be a hugger and I'm not a hugger. Right. Most of my staff at the office are huggers. Right. They want to hug. And I have a no-touch policy, right? 3 feet distance and we're good. So no touching. So, but they, to get a paycheck, they have to work with me, right? So they don't have a choice in this matter. But in community, you have a choice of who you're going to connect with. So I'm going to get with a group of guys that also doesn't like hugging. And so we're going to hang out and have a good time. So actually, the ones of us that do the Bible and bacon, even though the director's there and he likes to hug me, the main guy and I that do that, he doesn't like to be touched, and I don't like to be touched. And so we make a great group together. And so we can invite other guys that don't like to be touched to come and experience Bible and bacon with us. And it's a good time for us, okay? It's not necessarily for you, and I understand that. But the whole point of it is, our group can be a success because it's focused on how God's created us and how we're living life together, right? And that's what you have to find. And so your GROW coordinator in your class has to be able to have I forgot this one, spiritual gift of discernment. They have to be able to discern these things and be able to see who will connect and who is connecting, but also who is not connecting, right? So our GROW coordinator, if we had one in our class, would actually probably tell my director he shouldn't be in my group because he makes me tense up when he gets near me. Although I say this, he's actually one of my best friends. I mean, he and I are awesome together, so I'm just kind of half-joking when I say this. I'm trying to be the extreme person so y'all think I'm horrible, but I'm really not. So,
I think you need a hug, brother.
Well, it's all good now. That was threatened earlier today. It was a threat. But the reality, the GROW person has to know these things, right? The GROW person has to see it, discern it, know it, and help put those groups together in order for it to succeed. So the key to success is starting with a GROW coordinator that can help you as a class figure this out, that can know also, and this kind of goes back to our last hour when we deal with this with our teachers, but it's also to help us know when our teacher is not getting it done in our class, biblically to lead us to a point where we're ready to do that. Because if we go back to Romans 12, the whole point of what we're doing is being transformed in the image of Christ. We're doing this by the renewing of our mind. And if that comes out of community, it comes out of Bible study, that means our Bible study teachers have to be doing their job if we're ever going to get grow groups started effectively. If your class, so I gave this story in the last one. So my wife and I, when we were visiting a church, and we were going to join this church, we started looking for a Bible study class. So we go into this Bible fellowship, and it's set up all in straight rows, and we walk in the back of the room, and everyone is facing forward. And no one turns around and looks at us when we walk in. No one acknowledges us when we sit down. When it's time for class to start, the director walked in from outside, took his position at the podium, made his announcements, and walked out. And then the teacher walked in, taught his 45-minute lecture, and walked out. And then everyone got up and left, and no one spoke to us the entire time. Okay? That's not a class I want to be a part of. Now, aside from the criticism, that's not a class that will ever move to a point of a grow group. Because they're not creating biblical community so that a grow group can start out of that. See what I'm saying? So your life Bible study time has got to have a teacher that is leading you into community. The way that you get led into community is, we deal with teachers, but it's life application. They're able to take God's word and make it relevant for us today so that we can prove that God's word is not out of date and antiquated. It's actually alive and vibrant and still means something in this world today. If you experience that in community, then you will move to a point where you're ready for a grow group. So, earlier I was saying could be probably not 6 months, maybe 6 months, but definitely after 12 months. But the reality is it can happen in 3 months if you have the right teacher. If you have the right teacher who can truly bring you into the presence of God and you can leave this place experiencing life change from the Word of God, within 3 months you could have grow groups starting. But those are rare. But it can happen. So keys to success, start with a grow coordinator. You move into starting the grow groups once the genuine community is there and it's time to start the grow group. And then you have to monitor that grow group. And so your grow coordinator has to hold each grow group accountable for what's happening. Which means, now this is the hardest, in my opinion, the hardest thing for most people. Here's the thing, right? If you haven't figured it out, I'm an egomaniac. Okay? Y'all know what that means? I'm willing to admit that I have an ego. Okay? So, as an egomaniac, somebody that has an ego and knows it, I don't like people to question me. So if I'm going to start a grow group, and there's going to be a grow coordinator holding me accountable, but I don't like to be questioned, what does that do? That means I should not be in a grow group right now, right? Now, I'm being extremist once again. I happen to be on a spiritual journey where when I was not right with Jesus, I had a serious ego problem, but God has tempered my ego through the years, and so I'm willing to acknowledge, look, you have to have an ego to stand up in front of groups of people to talk. By nature, I'm an introvert, right? So teaching 3 sessions past my bedtime means when I get to the hotel, I will crash tonight because I'm an introvert. Talking drains me. Right? So I have to have an ego, though, to stand up in front of people and talk. That doesn't mean that I'm out of whack as an egomaniac, right? It just means I'm willing to acknowledge that I know that I could have one, and if I were not being tempered by Christ, I could be out of control. In fact, when I met my wife, I owned a convertible. For those of you guys that are car freaks, 1987 Mustang GT convertible. My wife and I met, and she said I drove a convertible to fit my head in the car. Some of you get that, okay. I was not right with Jesus at the time. So my ego was out of whack. right? She burst my bubble like a wife will do before she would ever go out with me. She got me straight, right? And so that started me on the path of who I'm supposed to be. So now I can be in a group and I'm okay if that grow coordinator comes and questions us about the success of our group. So what's the questioning they ask? They're not asking the details of what happened in your group. They're making sure that you're not sitting around talking about the football game in your group and never dealing with genuine biblical intimacy, right? They have to have the freedom to do that. If you can't give that grow coordinator the freedom to do that with your group shouldn't exist. It's a failure as a grow group already. Does this make sense? All of this is about how do we succeed in experiencing biblical intimate community. So, I believe that grow groups are important. I believe that they are necessary. And as I began, Old Testament, New Testament, I believe they're biblical. I believe that those passages that I share with you pull out the biblical model of moving from crowd to community to core. And so I think that the grow group is very important in the life of the church because it is actually where the genuine growth of the church is taking place. This is where the further discipleship is going. If you really want to get in depth on how passionate I could be about this, the reality is, and I don't know what y'all teach in your life Bible study curriculum, but in my personal opinion, what you should be teaching should be connected with the pastor's sermon. I think you should have the same thematic topic for the entire week for every teaching session that you do. So when the pastor is preaching out of John chapter 1, then the teachers in Life Bible Study are continuing the conversation of John chapter 1. And when you get into your grow group, you're diving even deeper into John chapter 1. Because now you're being discipled truly in God's word holistically. Instead of, you heard John chapter 1 from the pastor, you studied Lamentations chapter 3 in community, and I have no idea what you did in your grow group, right? So there's a strategic plan and process to this. See, this is what happened in Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, they open up, Ezra opens up the scroll and reads, and then the teachers walk around and teach, and what do they teach? They teach what they had heard read. And then when they move into community to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the whole reason they went into community to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles is because they had just read and been taught about the Feast of Tabernacles out of Deuteronomy and out of Lamentations. As they're studying this, they said, this is what we're supposed to do. Wait a second, we've messed up. We haven't celebrated this in a number of years. Therefore, we need to go back and celebrate because that's what God said we were supposed to do. We were supposed to remember where we came from. And so let's move back into community and remember in our core, in our family unit, where we came from and what happened to us. That's the whole, so the whole point of it flowed out of what Ezra read in the scroll. So I believe your grow group is where you dive into what the pastor was preaching about on Sunday morning. Discipleship originates from the pulpit. Your pastor is spiritually responsible for the discipleship of every person that's a member of this church. That's what Hebrews says. That's what James says. And because of that, we need to dive deeper and deeper and deeper into God's word. And so our grow group gives us that opportunity to genuinely deal with this text and us figure out, how does this really apply to my life today? How can I take what the pastor preached on and make it applicable for me today? All right, how much time do we have?
10 minutes.
10 minutes, excellent. That's just enough time for Q&A. I said I would leave enough time, and so here was my model for Eric. The first and the last session that I'm doing are the same session. I told him it's 3 hours of teaching that I have to do in 45 minutes. We did good, didn't we? We got through it. Not all of it, we only got through about 2 hours of it, but we got through it in the first session. But this one, I said, that one's very heavy. This is more conversational, so I have plenty of time for Q&A. So, Q&A time, and then, yep, and then you're going to get up. Any questions? Then you got 10 minutes.
Oh, great. I was like,
see if you can fill that
time. I was like, there are no questions.
You've been sitting there? Oh, my gosh.
I just had to. I'm like such a hugger. I was cringing, like hearing about how much you don't want.
How much I don't want. Exactly.
Hi, everyone. My name is Angela, and I'm here to just share a little bit about a newer vision that our church and our leaders have for grow groups and what they look like. And it actually, Kenneth, for not knowing how we do things around here, he kind of nailed it, which, good job. Thanks, Holy Spirit. So if you've led before and taken these trainings before, this is probably going to sound like nothing you've heard before. So don't freak out. I'm giving you this preface. It's new. It's different. And we're excited about it, which is neat. If someone could read James 1:22, or someone knows it, share it.
I'll be doers of the word, but hearers.
A little bit louder for everyone.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I'll be doers of the word, but hearers.
Yeah. No, that was great. And that is kind of the vision that we have for our grow groups moving forward, that we not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. We are lucky and so blessed to be at a church that has wonderful teaching. And like he just said, he said, you have Greg on Sunday. Some of our classes have a midweek Bible study. Some of us go on Wednesday nights to Midlink and Milestones. It's like teaching, teaching, teaching. And we're a lot of sitting, listening, and not a lot of conversation happening about what we're hearing and how we're applying it. So our new vision for this is that grow groups would be three things, if you want to write these down: a time of application, a time of accountability, and a time of prayer. And what you're applying, ideally, would be the sermons that you're already hearing. So like Kenneth just said, like that's neat that God did that. It is encouraged for your group to not do a book study, which in the past, I believe we've distributed packets of like 20 pages of book study options. So now hear me say, we're encouraging you to gather together and discuss what Pastor Greg has led, what your LBS teacher has spoken, what Pastor Greg is teaching on, what you're learning in your LBS class. The third option would be to gather together and share what you're learning individually in your time. And with that piece comes an accountability piece of, oh, I was in the Word this week. This is what God revealed to me. This is how it encouraged me, and now I'm here to share that with you. That could be the same book if you all choose to study the same book, or it could not be, which could be me both. And anyway, and then lastly, Eric, he's calling him Rhythms, which is kind of cool. But as far as like how often you're gathering and what you're gathering towards, we're recommending 1 to 2 times be social. You're just having fun. You're having a meal together. You're doing an activity together. And whatever it is that bonds you, go and do that. Oftentimes it's like, I think the saying is play before you pray. You're connecting and you're building that relationship. You're building that rapport by spending time together. And honestly, if you're starting a new group, that's probably what you should do. Learn each other's names, learn each other's stories, where they're from, what they like, and spend time doing that and have the grace to just gather together and get to know one another. So you would do a gap. So yeah, at first we do gather, grow, give. So I'm kind of doing it that way. Gather 1 to 2 times. Grow, so an intentional time of these discussions centered around Greg's sermon, your LBS sermon, or what you're learning. That would be ideally 3 times a month. So kind of weekly, if they're 3 weeks or 4 weeks, or around 9 to 12 times a semester, if you're thinking like January to May. And then we would do give, which would be 1 to 2 times. Ideally, you're gathering together, and that time is spent focused on evangelism or serving. So you're either inviting unbelievers to come, and this would be a social thing. So you're intentionally inviting unbelievers to come join you and just meet believers and hang out and get to know each other. Or your grow group is going and you're serving somewhere. And ideally, like our faith centers, if you're guys, your groups doing like men serve together or things like that, like there are so many options. And so often grow groups aren't taking those levels of doing the gather or the give, and we're not always applying well. And so the goal this semester is to learn each other, learn how God is moving in each other's lives, and continue to encourage each other towards applying what we're being taught through the scriptures in our church. And so that is the spiel. Any questions about that? Yeah.
Do you mind repeating how many times we meet for each one?
Yeah, for sure. And these are just like rough estimates, but socially you're meeting 1 to 2 times. So that would be like gather. Intentional, or the rhythms, if you hear Eric talk about it, he'll say social, intentional, missional, and I kind of labeled it gather, grow, give. Intentional / grow 3 times a month or 9 times a semester. And then missional / give 1 to 2 times. Oh, a semester. So that's over, oh yeah, not a month. That would be crazy. I mean, maybe a good crazy.
Unless you really love Jesus.
Unless you really like.
If you really love Jesus, then you go 1 to 2 times.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions? Yeah.
You said something about application, accountability, and one other thing.
Prayer,
okay.
Yeah.
These programs are changing from what they used to be. Because the past times I went through book twice, and I've gone through books of the Bible twice also. So these are changing from that and going to something else.
Ideally, what we're recommending now would be for y'all to gather together and discuss what you've heard from Greg or your LDS teacher.
Okay.
Or what you're learning individually.
Okay.
You can still choose to like study a book of the Bible. Like, we're not going to slap you on the wrist for that, but we're just wanting to see how going this way will help grow.